If we think of the time of the birth of Jesus and the great rejoicing that heralded, but look at that in the context of the future story of the gospel of Jesus and right up until the time of the cross and the crucifixion, and home in on that point after the crucifixion and the terrible sense of loss that the disciples must have felt because they didn't fully understand God's plan that he had. They didn't understand the full picture, even though Jesus had clearly told it to them. They would have felt a sense of despair and great loss. And that sense of despair and loss is really what's reflected in the book of Lamentations. The previous book that I preached on was Jeremiah. After Jeremiah comes Lamentations, so that's how we come to end up at Lamentations today. So we're going to have a look at that book. It's not an easy book to deal with, but nonetheless we must, and there are things that we can learn from it and take away. The subject is the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians and the immediate aftermath of that. The author, he is traditionally held to be Jeremiah, but that's not necessarily conclusive. It may have been, but it may not have been. The theme of the book is about Judah relying on unreliable earthly allies rather than on God. And you can see some comparison of that in Isaiah. Isaiah reflects a similar theme about 150 years earlier. It seems that it was written soon after the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC. And the text reads as if the events were very near to the writer, that the writer had seen these firsthand. Talk a little bit about the structure of Lamentations. Lamentations is poetry, and it's a set of poems. It's always worthwhile when you're looking at scripture to dwell on for a moment what the type of the writing is. In this case, it's poetry. And the first four are acrostic poems, the same as Psalms 25, 34, 37 and 119, apparently. Not obvious to us in the English translation, but each verse begins with a sequential letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the third poem, or the third chapter, contains 66 verses, with each three successive verses starting with the same letter. And the pattern of the chapters follows a certain progression. And this is one way of looking at it. The chapter one, how deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. So chapter one looks at the misery of Jerusalem's citizens. So we could say that's about man. It focuses on man. Chapter 2, how the Lord has covered daughter Zion with the cloud of his anger. He has hurled down the splendour of Israel from heaven to earth. He has not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. So chapter 2 focuses on God and God's punishment of Jerusalem. Chapter 3 starts out, I am one who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. So it starts off saying, I am one. So chapter 3 is like the personal reaction of the writer. So the focus goes from man to God, and it comes back to man again, and this is in the context of the writer and his personal reaction. In chapter 4 it starts out, how the gold has lost its luster, the fine gold become dull, the sacred gems are scattered at every street corner. So again, it comes back to God and focuses on seemingly on the severity of God's judgment. And chapter 5 starts out, remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. So chapter 5 follows this pattern again. The focus swings back to man and follows this theme of the response of the godly. Now, as I said, Lamentations is poetry, and the rules of Hebrew poetry are different to what we are familiar with. It's not about rhyme and rhythm, but about parallelism and pattern. If you look at, for example, verse 2 of chapter 1, "Bitterly she weeps at night, tears are on her cheeks. Among her lovers there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her, they have become her enemies." So you have this sort of parallel things. All her lovers, among all her lovers there is none to comfort her. Stop. And then it starts again. All her friends have betrayed her, they have become her enemies. So there's this sort of parallelism. The lines can complement each other with similar thoughts, contrast each other, affirming one thing and then denying the opposite. The second line might clarify the first, or the lines can develop in some manner the thought being expressed. And there's no rigid rules governing the flow of thought or the lines, and so that's why to us sometimes it might seem a little bit disjointed, but it's just the nature of the Hebrew poetry. Now, Lamentations has got a lot to do with pain and suffering. I'd just like to talk a little bit about pain, because it's worthwhile to bear this in mind, that pain is not all bad. It has a biological purpose in telling us that something is wrong. Leprosy causes a loss of pain sensation. And the result is that, first of all, injuries occur more readily because you don't feel pain. And when the injuries do occur, they don't get attention, which can lead to more serious problems. So this is something to keep in mind when pondering the subject of pain and suffering. Now, there won't be pain and suffering in heaven, but total elimination of pain and suffering on fallen humanity on earth today would not necessarily be a good thing. Now, the viewpoint of the writer of Lamentations is that the devastation of Jerusalem and the related suffering were not primarily as a result of the invasion of the Babylonians, but rather the result of divine judgment. So it's the perspective, it's the perspective of these cataclysmic events of seemingly from a secularist perspective a geopolitical nature, but really were driven from a theological perspective of what God is doing. And you'll hear me say this, you've heard me say this many times when you're looking at scriptures. The important thing is to look at what is God doing. And that's really what Lamentations is about. It's telling us this dramatic event in world history. It's telling us what God is doing. That is the focus. Now, there's two books of the Bible that are exclusively about the subject of suffering. And the other one is Job. So you have Job and Lamentations. So just have a look at a bit of comparison of those two. Job is about personal suffering. Lamentations is about national suffering. Job was innocent, and his suffering was unrelated to sin. In contrast, in Lamentations, Judah was guilty, and the suffering was the consequence of sin. The book of Job has a happy-ish ending, and Lamentations does not. Lamentations sits in isolation, seemingly a real finely focused book on that moment of history that just brings that out so dramatically. It doesn't have the passages of future hope that Isaiah and Jeremiah, for example, have. But looking at both Job and Lamentations, there's some things that we can learn. And this is important about understanding God and what God is like. Both books present the problems of God's justice, his love, divine sovereignty, and human responsibility. And this sort of age-old question of why does suffering happen? Why and how does God allow these dreadful things, seemingly to us, to happen? But note that Lamentations, like Job, doesn't set out to solve the problem. It doesn't set out to set it all straight for us. That's not the objective. The objective is to tell us what God is doing. So we can't fully understand this problem this side of heaven. And what both books have in common, which is what God wants to emphasize, is that it is God who is central to all of these things, not man. In all of these events, it's not about man, it's about God. And that's very important. And God is God. Man can't fully understand God, and God doesn't set out to fully explain himself to man. He's not obliged to. So all we can learn from Lamentations, as we can learn from Job, is simply to be faithful to God no matter what. And that's really the thrust of this fairly short message today, is to just be faithful to God no matter what the circumstances. Picture yourself in the centre of this goings-on in Jerusalem during the siege and the fall of Jerusalem. And as you read Lamentations, you can get a sense of just how traumatic it was. Try and picture yourself in that situation and try and picture what should be your response. Well, your response is to be faithful to God no matter what is happening. And you never know when you or I or all of us even might in the future find ourselves in the midst of some dreadful situation. You think of the things that have happened around the world in the last 100 years, and the people, including Christian believers, who have found themselves in the centre of those situations, totally beyond their control. And this is the response that one should have. Be faithful to God. Now, Lamentations chapter 3 speaks in a language, it's a little bit of a reflection of the suffering servant passages of Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 that talk about Jesus. And the punishment given to Jesus was that deserved of all mankind. God was punishing the people of Judah for their unfaithfulness. But the punishment that was heaped on Jesus was the punishment that was due to everyone. And there's some other parallels as well. So this tragedy of the fall of Jerusalem is viewed from the writer in the perspective of discipline. But as I was saying, Lamentations is a very finely focused book, and it doesn't give the indications of the promises beyond the fall of Jerusalem and the exile. And as you read this book and look at it in that perspective, you can get something of an idea of the perspective of somebody who is right there on the ground at the time, where it's very, very difficult to see beyond the immediacy of the immediate situation. And I think that's what we can learn from that, as we see that you can see how things can be so dramatic and so difficult. But we know from elsewhere in the scriptures what the wider picture is. And we have the privilege of being able to see that wider picture from the standpoint of where we sit today. But the people there right at that moment, even though they had the earlier scriptures, they had been warned, just the same as Jesus' disciples didn't really twig and didn't properly take in the full meaning of Jesus' crucifixion and death, and would have felt such a great sense of despair and hopelessness. There's a possibility that we too can end up in that position one day, and losing sight of the bigger picture and just not being able to see it. But again, in everything, we just need to remember that just that simple principle of being faithful to God no matter what is happening. So the summary and the takeaway from all of this is, whether it's at the personal level or at the national level, God is central. God is the main event, not us, not the country. It is God who is the main event. He is central. And we're unlikely to know the full extent of what's behind or beyond whatever tragedies or suffering might come upon us or upon the nation. So even if you find yourself in a period and a place even like lamentations, and I pray that that would never be the case. But all I can say is remember to be faithful to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that we can never fully understand you, but we do know and we thank you that your Son Jesus has had put upon him